No, hit record.
That's recording.
Room tone.
For what?
You record the sound of the room, so then when it's silent and you hear noise, you can take noise away.
Okay.
Gotta be silent, though.
For how long?
5 minutes.
Really?
No.
For how long?
I believe what I learned in school is a minute. Most people do a minute. I've seen people do 15 seconds.
Okay. What should we talk about?
Well, we still haven't done the room tone yet. Gotta be silent.
Okay, okay. 1, 2, 3, now.
Make me laugh. No good. This girl, no good. Me record room tone on my own. No blame you. Make me laugh.
You weren't being silent. You were yawning and everything.
You were making faces at me.
Because you were yawning. Because you were yawning. Stretch my neck. Be like giraffe. Yes, a lot easier. But how about you?
I can do it.
Okay. I feel like we'd be two giraffe now. Very cute.
So what do you want to talk about? I'm going to kind of leave it up to you. Hello, everyone. It is Saturday, March 28th, around 4:20 in the morning, ironically enough, not planned. And we are inside the bathroom again.
Yes, we're inside our bathroom trying to not disturb our two roommates too much and feel this is extremely quiet. So, very nice. This is Michael and Nikki again, and coronavirus continue.
That they do since we last recorded. The United States has surpassed every other country in the amount of cases, New York being the, as everyone loves saying at this point, epicenter. And yeah, what do you want to talk about tonight? Do you want to, I'm sure we'll talk a little bit of corona, if you want to talk about anything else.
Yeah, New York City's epic center and Queens is the epic center of the epicenter of the epicenter.
It kind of sounded like epic. There's nothing epic about this, no. So.
No, and naturally, my friend, my mom, my mom's friend, their friend's friend are all sending messages to me, ask me to be careful. One thing that I meant to tell both Michael and our roommates but kept forgetting, my mom has now escalated her checkup on us. She used to message me once a day, now she's messaging me every morning and every night, and every morning and every night she will say, how is everybody? And I almost want to say, same as 10 hours ago. We're not going anywhere. And I'm about to run out of stuff that I can reply to her. Because every morning she says, is everyone alright? I say, yes. And every night she comes back and says, is everyone alright? I say, yes. And in the morning she'd be like, your aunt so-and-so is asking if everything is alright. And I say, yes. And I wonder how many international students or young immigrants are experiencing the same thing that I am experiencing. No thoughts or response to mother's escalated checkups?
I mean, I thought you already did talk to her twice a day, in the morning and at night. So this is news to me. Not that I know before all this you would talk about. It wouldn't be constantly asking if you're all right. But I don't know. At the end of the day, she's concerned and she's worried about your well-being. But if that was my mother, I'd probably get tired of it as well. My mom, in her own ways, can certainly, you know, anytime I leave the house or be careful, it's like, how many times can you say it? I'm going around the block to Dominic's for chicken fingers. Be careful, okay. But she means well. I empathize with you, but I mean the whole aunt thing, that to me I don't know how it is in Chinese, or is she just telling you your aunt is asking how are you in a way to just tell you like, oh, your aunt asked about you, like, or your aunt's thinking about you, or is it asked in a way of like, she could have just asked you how are you and that's okay, but now that the aunt asks, I have to ask again to give a new response to the aunt?
I feel it's the latter. I mean, I'm sure all her friends who know me at some point ask about me and everything, but I can't foresee them asking every day, like, how she is. But talking about her, it just, I think in the earlier episodes, we kind of talked about it a little bit, is how, because of the fact that China was ahead of, two steps ahead of the rest of the world going through this, they are now at a point that it seems like everything is getting normal. But I almost feel like people celebrate too early. I think obviously people gotta go back to work because they have to pay bills, and you can't just trap a whole nation of 1.6 billion people inside and not produce anything or live a life. But without having an actual vaccine or cure or any direct medicine, I can't understand or I can't relate to people who are already celebrating and calling how we Chinese have defeated the virus. And for them to, and obviously I understand that they worry about their family and friends who are here, which is statistically worse than China now, and to this statistically the numbers has surpassed and everything. They obviously have the right and the reason to worry, but I don't think they themselves is in a complete danger-free zone either.
Right, and well, I guess I know what I want to say, but I don't know if you want to speak. I don't know if you want to speak at some point about Hong Kong and, you know, how second waves, and I haven't really had a chance to look up anything on Hong Kong, but you said that they were getting kind of worse or whatever. But I think, and again, this isn't really supposed to be about politics, but you can't help but talk politics. And I won't hesitate to say if people, you know, either are giving Trump a hard time or not even with this, just in general, you know, or like don't want to give him credit when credit is due. You and I think China is celebrating too early. We haven't even seen the worst of the worst. We're like just getting into this, and this fucking idiot is talking about Easter's on and talking about we're gonna have, and we mentioned it last and we never ended up talking about it. I haven't seen anything in the last 24 hours, so maybe he's changed his tune, but are you fucking kidding me? What, you want to get hundreds of people in churches around the country? We haven't done the conspiracy episode yet, but like, fuck, that sounds like some conspiracy. Getting like, all right, during a worldwide pandemic, let's, We closed down for 2 weeks, okay, we're good, let's go back like it was normal. I mean, it almost leaves you speechless.
I think people really misunderstand having a cure versus slowing it down or try to limit how fast it spread. Simply not going out and not being crowded is not the way to cure the virus at all. It's just to slow down the spread, to in a way contain it. But the moment you let people get back to their normal life, it's bound to happen. It's almost doesn't need a scientist or public health expert to say that the virus is still here. We're trapping ourselves inside. We're not trapping a virus inside anywhere and make the virus suffocate it or something unless there's vaccine or cure. It almost seems like people think, oh, we're gonna stay at home for 2 weeks and this virus is gonna be magically disappear. And I think a lot of people across the whole world is thinking like that. And yes, Hong Kong is seeing the second wave getting worse. They start to re-asking people to stay at home again, and that's bad.
I mean, what you just said seems like pure logic, and as someone who considers themselves dumb, it fascinates me how many people are out there that are seemingly 10 times as dumb as me. And that doesn't mean you or I are handling the situation perfectly. We don't know. No one knows how to fucking handle it. But everything you just said seems like common sense. people just don't want to face the facts. They don't like being told to stay. People don't like being told what to do, where to go, when to go, when not to go. As we were wandering in the cemetery, and if you want to talk about that in a bit, we can. I randomly see, like, Yamanika, the comedian, her video, and she's recording the news of people. And, like, some older woman has the audacity to say, like, we know the virus is serious, but we can't close the basketball hoops. I said it last episode, which you haven't heard yet, because it's now going to be the, quote, lost episode, because I had a disaster editing it anyway. I said it last episode, you're hearing this first. Get off the fucking basketball courts. NBA's shut the fuck down. Shut off your fucking amateur shit. If you want to go work on your free throws by yourself, by all means, go do it. Fucking quit it with the one-on-one or anything. If you're not out there by yourself, go the fuck home.
Yes, we took roughly an hour walk at the cemetery. We didn't realize how big it is till we were wandering there. And we also didn't realize how old that cemetery was until we saw some tombstone that literally dates 1864 to 1929, something like that. Basically, the year that person died was the year that my grandpa was born. And it's crazy.
Well, right. And I have great-grandparents in there. And we walked past a couple of tombstones with last names that were familiar, but apparently the way my grandmother spelled Compitello is different than what we saw.
And it seems like it's a large Italian population in this cemetery.
Italian, a lot of Italians, definitely some Irish. I saw a couple what I would assume are either, I think, Polish, possibly Russian.
No, any Chinese though. We haven't found any Chinese.
No, but I wish I had my phone because I took a picture of the one tombstone that we had no idea. We thought it might be of some Asian descent, but then it had a dash, or I don't know when it's associated with a name. Okay, well, just a regular old dash. I thought it had a different name when it was not a hyphen. What the fuck? Go back to English class, Michael, and relearn everything. I don't know why I'm singing this. Anyway, so we saw one tombstone with some sort of Asian name on it, or sorry, that we thought seemed to be Asian, but then it also had a dash. And A as in the letter A. And then Shack, like Shake Shack. It looked silly. And then the tombstone had a picture of the woman, and she looked like some cute old Southern black woman. So, I don't know. But not many. I didn't visibly see any Asian names.
No, and I think the Chinese were not allowed in this country until 1860 something. I gotta recheck my note, but the first ever Chinese who set foot in the US was apparently a woman, and she was put up in an exhibition. Basically, the museum that invited her, the museum has some sort of agreement with her father back in China, and they sent her to the States, and the museum who put her up in the exhibition later on was bought by P.T. Barnum's circus. But she basically had to every day be inside a window and demonstrate how a Chinese woman will walk, will sit, will eat, will drink for a very long time. A little bit of knowledge that I gained from theater piece, because last year there was a theater production that was produced based on her true story, and that was when I knew.
Well, that's interesting. Thank you for that little history lesson. That was nice. You said first Asian person or Chinese? Okay, because I was gonna say, I mean, did people from Mongolia not go over the Bering Strait? And I mean, is there no Asian blood in, like, Native American? I mean, I guess if they're Native, then they were born here? I don't know. Sorry.
I mean, I don't know about any other Asian country or, like, Southeast Asia, maybe, or something. But I'm speak solely Chinese.
Got it. I thought then, like, no one lived in U.S. until people went over the Bering Strait in Alaska. That is from, that connects to whatever, Mongolia or Russia. I don't fucking know. Anyway, what else? Anything to go back to Trump saying he wants people in churches on Easter? Anything, any thoughts on that? Because again, what I led up to that, because I'm just saying everything you said just seems very logical. This virus isn't just going to disappear. We need to come up with a cure for it. Any other virus that we've ever come across, no different. You know, we've come a long way with AIDS, still haven't cured it. It can still kill people. So I don't know why anyone thinks that this virus is just going to magically go away by staying indoors for 2 weeks. The reason for staying indoors, there's obviously a few. We see the numbers. We see one person has it. Okay, now 3 people. We've talked about this. Now 9. Now fucking 50. And then from 50, we go to 1,000. Then from 1,000, we go to fucking 5,000. So that is the reason for staying inside. Would seem fairly obvious. We already saw it happen in China, and then we saw it happen in Italy. That's the reason I say I feel like I'm dumb, and you see these people who you think they're 10 times dumber than you. We watched it happen. How many times you have to watch the same story to be like, oh, okay, I'm gonna do something different?
I feel like I have a lot to say right there. In terms of Trump's, how beautiful would it be to see, in terms of Trump's quote, how beautiful would it be to see packed church? I personally just chose to laugh about it and forget about it. But that brings me to a thought that I have for a long time. All my friends and families who kept sending me, whether it's news article or just some sort of rumor they heard somewhere about how chaotic the states and New York has become and how there's no hope for the US to get better like China did, was because Trump was saying all these nonsense and the federal government is doing bad job and blah blah. I think people in China, most people in China, they don't understand how the system works. I think in the US, unless you are a diehard Trump supporter, you're not always gonna take what he says 100% seriously. And he doesn't have the amount of power like what Xi Jinping has. You know, I think in China, people have such a strong belief in what the president says, what the president decides. It almost, sometimes I almost feel that in a way, China is still under a monarchy. Is that the right word? Type of system. Because they still look up to that one person who's gonna make the decision. But here you have federal government, you have state government, and in a situation like this, especially judging from, it's mostly state government trying to decide on how they're going to handle things and like that. Just because Trump said he wants to see a packed churches on Easter Sunday doesn't mean that the state is just gonna obey him. But I think people in China just be like, oh, your president said this, your president decided that, that's gonna destroy the United States. And I don't think one single president has the power to destroy United States, especially at a stage like this. And that was very interesting to me because, again, so many people have sent me messages that make US sound so hopeless.
Yeah, and look, there's a lot of diehard Trump supporters out there, so there are plenty of people listening to him. I mean, I mess with you all the time, and I joke about the woman that we watch on TV who, you know, 2 weeks ago, or whatever, 3 weeks ago, didn't believe in the virus. She thought it was a conspiracy. She thought Democrats, it was a Democratic thing. And that's when I joke with you, and I'm like, don't believe that Wuhan virus. Or Nikki doesn't like my southern accent, but anyway, a lot of people do look up to him and listen to him, but plenty don't. And the other day, Dustin, as you know, reached out to me and randomly asked, like, oh, what do you think of Governor Cuomo, how he's handling it? And I don't know how much you want to talk about him, but I very much don't like him, specifically for marijuana laws, or lack there. No, for the laws. Can't say lack thereof, because they are there. But we've watched some of his press conferences, and I thought he's been handling the situation great. And I wasn't aware of this, I guess, because I live here, so I'm not looking at any other governor. But Dustin asked me, like, oh, how do you think he's doing? And what do you think about how a lot of other state governors are looking at the job that Cuomo's doing rather than what the president's doing? So I say that because how you were talking about how everyone, you know, thinks, like, you look up to the president, how, oh my God, they're so powerful and this, this, and that. And then you hear someone stateside being like, oh yeah, governors of different states are paying more attention to the governor of New York versus the president.
Yeah, because the whole system in China is definitely more hierarchy, right? It's the president will decide on the direction, and who all these people under him is just simply going to follow. And I think people really don't understand the system is just different.
Totally different. And I don't know your system, and I'd love to know more about the provinces and how all that equates to everything. We can do that on mic one day or off mic. But sometimes people wonder why, you know, you have gun-toting Americans, America-loving, flag-wearing, this or that. Just people who love this country. And there really is something special about states' rights. And you know, I believe in, for instance, we'll just use abortion as an example. I believe in the right to choose. But if there's one state that literally everyone's on board and they don't want to have it, or to be more specific, a certain county in a state, because you can really break it down to a county level or whatever else, then by all means, if you have a certain belief, and that's one of the beautiful things I think about this country, is that you can have state laws that are different and not be federally prosecuted and such and thrown in jail.
Yeah, there is definitely no province law in China, or no local law. One law applies to everywhere in mainland. But
I guess that makes sense, seeing what's current, or I can't say currently anymore, but what was going on in Hong Kong, which, again, have not done the conspiracy episode yet, but some say this was all to curb that.
Yeah, so Hong Kong and Macau is under the quote one country, two policy system. So what they practice is different from mainland, but mainland wise, everywhere is the same. All under one great leader, one great system, one great law.
And you know, we won't get into it, but we could talk about how, you know, universal healthcare, people love to talk about, oh, well, it works great in Denmark and here. These are a lot smaller countries. I don't know if it can work here. I'd rather see something state, but it's crazy to fathom that a country as big as the U.S., which is why, like I said before, we have such a great thing here with states' rights. It's crazy to fathom that in a place like China, how big it is, especially, not to mention, you know, here in the U.S., we all speak English. You have Mandarin and Cantonese. But one can't actually think that with a place that large and a population that large, that everyone has the same beliefs.
Oh, totally. Not just Mandarin or Cantonese. The Shanghainese, the Wenzhouhua, there are a lot of local dialects. There are 56 different minority groups in China, and I believe they all have their own dialect, if not their own language. Some both written and oral, some just speaking language. But yeah, it's a very, very, very different, or it's a country full of different people, divided minority groups and all that, and which is why, sadly, local Muslims get sent to concentration camp to study the value of the mainstream, you know? There's certainly a lot of suppress when it comes to all these minority people. And speaking of universal health plan, we don't have it in China either. And that's a joke when you think about communism, although China has never been, and in my opinion will never be, a real communist country. But it's what is in our constitution and all that. But even us, we don't have universal health plan in China. And one thing even more fucked up, as bad as your health insurance and health plan is here, by law, hospitals and doctors had to treat patients, and the medical bills come after. Like, if someone wind up in an emergency room, it is by law that he/she has to be treated, whether or not she can end up afford it. In another word, hospitals cannot turn away patients here, is what I want to say. But in China, all hospitals, all doctors, fee first. If you can't pay the fee first, you don't get treatment, which we can have a independent, in-depth conversation some other time, but that had led to a lot of conflict between doctors and patients, and furthermore led to so many doctors literally being killed by patients' family. That's a social phenomenon in China now. I'm not even kidding.
I don't know how often I'm quote-unquote shocked, but if you could have seen my reaction, Jesus, that's crazy. I think, you know, if you want to talk about different systems, and again, we can have more in-depth conversations, but to kind of just try and, as we say, put a ribbon on this or wrap it up. Going back to, how special the U.S. is with states' rights, and we divide it, and you can, you know, different people have different values. I think to wrap it up and hopefully not extend it, but of course, by all means, respond. Going back to how this United States, we have something special because state rights and people are so different from all across this country, and we value that. And if one state wants to do one thing and another doesn't, for instance, gay marriage, which I'd say probably the best thing or most important thing that Obama got done was federally legalize it, which I don't know how that means it. And I don't know if a state, if there was one state that wanted to ban gay marriage, if they could or not. I don't know. To be honest, we're not perfect either, and our laws even confuse me sometimes. That being said, in the way of tying it up is, I feel like when it comes down to it, China overall as a whole just does not value the individual. When you say something like, you can be turned away at a hospital, it's like they don't care about that person. That's just a number to them. They care about the overall image of China or whatever else. One person's gonna die? Okay.
Yes, individual and characteristics are less valued in China, which again is a whole culture topic. When you hear people often say, you're gonna do this at the age of this because that's what everyone else is doing. Each and every Chinese person grew up has heard this saying multiple times, and a lot of people follow. And when you ask them why they follow, they will say it's because that's what everyone else is doing. And it's why for years, lack of creativity in modern Chinese society has been discussed. And at the same time, there are even a lot of Chinese people make fun of state laws here in the States, because you guys do have some odd local laws. Like in Jersey, you can pump your own gas. Even that to me is not the oddest. I feel like I've read somewhere. But what I wanted to say is, for Chinese people to even make fun is them can't see how you supposed to respect other people's opinion, even if it sounds like funny to you. You know, like a local law is there for some reason. If a group of people decided that they don't want drivers to pump their own gas, and they decide that that's how they want to regulate their community, you can make fun of it, you can shake your head, but it's their right to make that their local law, right? And I think for Chinese people to think this is so ridiculous shows how lack of individual respect that they have. Even in this country, I feel like people are still learning how to be united as a nation yet hold individual opinion. I think this country is getting more separated. People are like, if I don't hold the same opinion with you, I'm not gonna be friends with you. I think that for years that's been what Chinese are taught, is everything's gotta be the same.
I think it's getting worse here, and I've already said I'm not a Trump supporter, but I think a lot of, and I thought we were gonna wrap it up and maybe we'll fit this somewhere else, I think a lot of the reason Trump did get voted in was because you have people who are kind of sick and tired of a group of individuals telling you how to feel a certain way. And you have Antifa, who claims to be anti-fascist, but fascism is just controlling your speech and whatnot. Might want to get a proper definition on fascism. But I mean, I think you're right. I think this country does seem divided, and to me it seems like on the left, if people feel like you can't have your own opinion, and I'm fairly certain communism is on the left side of politics, not on the right. I don't know what I am. I'm not registered as anything. I used to say I'm a libertarian. A lot of people on the left and a lot of people on the right don't like libertarians. I'm kind of just like, my main view is, if I'm not fucking with you, don't fuck with me. Let me live my life how I want to do. And as long as I'm not getting in your way, leave me the fuck alone. So that's why, you know, you bring up talking about different states have different laws, and New Yorkers love to rag on Jersey, and I'll make fun of them for not being allowed to pump their own gas or not being allowed to essentially make a left turn. But that's the laws they came up with, and that's fine. What, you go on Long Island, you can make a right turn at a red light. If there's no pedestrians or no cars, if it's safe, you can make a right on red. In Manhattan, in Queens, you can't make a right at a red light because there's more people and you're more likely to, God forbid, hit someone. So there's very much a reason. But I go so far down to the individual that individuals should have a right. I don't believe in racism. I don't believe in homophobia or anything like that. But if there's a baker out there who's religious, even though I'm not religious and I don't believe in any religion, there's a baker who doesn't want to bake a cake for a gay couple, like, just fucking leave him alone. Just go to the next bakery. Like, I'm not only for state rights, I'm down for individual rights. This person has a personal business. Whether you like it or not, I might not agree with them. I'm the individual who would just be like, who gives a fuck that they're gay? Make your money. Just bake the fucking cake. Who cares? But if someone feels so strong to not want to bake the cake, Leave him alone. Leave her alone. Who cares? There's a million bakeries. Go find yourself a baker who's gonna bake a big old cake with whatever you want. But if someone doesn't want to bake you a cake for any reason, don't make it into a big deal. And that's kind of all I have to say about it. But then people love to bring up, oh, what if it was a black person and they didn't want to bake it because they're black?
Yeah, then you get trapped in this hole that you never get out. But circle back to, for us to want to wrap up this conversation, I think one thing that made me feel slight better was yesterday we had a virtual happy cocktail hour with our friend Rob and Christy.
In which you had no cocktail or beer.
Because I was having stomach issue. But spiritually and physically, I was there just not sipping alcohol. When we were chatting online, they were naturally asking how my family friends in China reacted. And I told them the story that I keep ramble on here. And they said they are experiencing the same thing because Rob is from Australia and they have a lot of friends in Australia who also keep sending them news articles and messages about how a apocalypse New York is now. And we all kind of vented on how we live here. You guys really don't need to send us the information from across the ocean to us about what's happening around us. We understand that you care about us, but sometimes just gonna give it a break. Speaking of virtual happy hour, we also had another FaceTime happy hour with our friend Yuchen and her boyfriend Todd, where we talked about cooking across different culture and things like that. And later today, we're about to FaceTime Yuchen again, this time with our friend P and Michelle, and maybe gonna talk about cooking again among other exotic conversations that we normally have. But basically, what I was gonna say is that to all my friends and families who may or may not be listening to this, we're fine. We're entertaining ourselves. We go walk in a cemetery where there's significantly a lot more dead people than and alive ones.
There were some alive ones, though.
There were some alive ones. But as I said, there were significantly a lot more dead ones, which makes us safer at this stage. And we do virtual happy hour, eating hour, talking nonsense hour with a friend. So spiritually, we're still together, as cheesy as that sounds. And we plan to keep doing that with my friend in China, with our friend in California. Oh, the first one we FaceTimed was actually Wendong out in California, who was asking me about new episode today. But he did say, he said he understand good content costs time. So he said no rush whatsoever. Thank you, Wendong, as always.
Thank you, Wendong. We miss you. We also miss Dustin and Sophia, DJ, and soon to be, I don't think we have a name yet, but because you mentioned California, I think we gotta FaceTime them maybe also tomorrow. Ange's 4 or 5 days, who knows now, from giving birth to another beautiful daughter, so we look forward to that. You know, the world doesn't stop either because of this. And babies, of course, will be born and such. And so, yeah, we've been, honestly, all things considered, we've been great. Absolutely great. We're enjoying our time together with one another, our roommate Khan, talking to our friends. I don't talk to my friends more than, especially like via phone call or FaceTime. So it's kind of nice. Talked to my cousin Anthony the other day for a while, asking me where the bachelor party is, Jesus, or when it is, rather. So yeah, I mean, relatively, we're doing pretty good. We finally made that homemade ricotta. Tastes pretty good. I'm sorry, I couldn't help myself. But we made it tomorrow, or rather, I guess later today, again, Saturday, the 28th, March, 2020, somewhere around 5:30 in the morning at this point. We're going to make that lasagna, going to make some orzo, throw some of the ricotta on top of that. Nikki's all excited for orzo, so yeah, we're all good people.
And we shall be back again soon. Ciao, ciao.
Good night. Ciao, ciao.